Good evening. Welcome to the next meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020, 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. I would all please rise for the invocation by Pastor James Bethay of Life in Christ Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I ask that you would bow your heads with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We praise and worship you for being God and loving us as your children. Father, it is in the name of Jesus the Christ that I come before you now, asking that you would grant wisdom, direction, and guidance upon these, the member of these governing body. It is in your word that you direct us to pray for our leaders, that we may live peaceably. I pray for the agenda that shall be discussed and the decisions made that they conform to your will. Be pleased with all that you hear and all that shall be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Pastor. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Vicente.
Mr. Reynolds. Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walden.
Present. Directly before council meeting this evening, City Council held an executive session in the mayor's conference room. The purpose of the executive session was to review a personnel issue. We have one citation this evening honoring Jonathan Desiderio. I don't believe he's with us this evening. His citation will be mailed to him. Seeking approval for the minutes of January 6th. With no comments, the minutes stand approved. Moving to public comment, any subject not being voted on this evening. No names previously signed up on the list. Is there anyone who would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Gallagher, you're on deck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Folks, as a reminder, if you could just give your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Yes. Councilman, Mayor, please. Thank you very much for your time. My name is Ryan Holvat. I live at 2067 West Broad Street in West Bethlehem. Myself and my partner are owner of two businesses in the city of Bethlehem. Between us, we have five children that attend lots of Bethlehem schools. And we are feeling increasingly unsafe in our neighborhood. There's been a series of crimes, some of them minor and some of them major. Recently, my motivation started even more when my catalytic converter was stolen off my car. And the officer gave me kind of a flippant response. I felt like a kind of a dismissive response. But we've also had our garage broken into, two bikes stolen. We've had someone break in through our front door. We witnessed drug deals in our neighborhood on Broad Street and the projects behind us. I witnessed a drive-by shooting the week before Christmas, a year ago, on Ritter Street. There was a shooting a week and a half ago on Sunday in the projects behind us. And I would say weekly, we're hearing gunshots in our maybe 3 to 5 block radius. I filled out another police report and was given a crime victim's notice. I respect what the crimes victim's notice is, but it feels very disingenuous to say that, because it's the third one I've done, and I'm not expecting any response, but that's not going to help me out. I understand that's set up for people who've been victims of violent crime, with hospital stays and what have you. There are a few things that my partner and I would love to see to increase the safety in our neighborhood, increase patrols, video cameras, and very specifically at the corner of Broad and Keystone, Keystone and Glendale, and Glendale, the next corner over, where there's been frequent crimes. The sawing off of my catalytic converter would have been seen by these cameras. The two shootings that I mentioned would have been seen by these cameras. There are about 30 kids who play, some of them are our kids who play in this neighborhood, ride their bikes, play Nerf guns, play video games, run house to house, help us out in the garden in the back. And I don't feel like the solution is to need to move out of our 120-year-old home where we garden and take care of this. Also, possibly a community police officer would be a great help. There's a lot of people who are out in the neighborhood on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the kids who are running around there after school. So a police officer is not simply rolling by in a squad car who could know the kids' names, know what's going on, and be aware of trends that are happening. I try to do the best that I can. I do my artwork out in the garage, and I open it up and try to welcome the neighbors that come by, the people who are walking by. But I'm just very concerned. Thank you very much for your time. I will say that the chief of police did give me a call, and the mayor reached out, and some council people encouraging me to come out tonight. So thank you very much for your attention to this matter. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Gallagher?
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Fight the good fight, my extended family. Mr. Callahan, I'm thinking about you as I come to the podium today. I remember a lot of things that that you say. Mr. Callahan? I remember a lot of things that you say. I'm going to try hard not to sound like a cave person today. I'm going to speak against something. And, you know, I remember your comments about people who seem to be against virtually everything. I'm going to try to be logical and rational and reasonable in my negative comments today. And secondly, remember, back in the fall, you made very effective use of audio on the panel there. You had your phone and you were playing audio.
Mr. Gallagher, can we just pause for a second? If you can direct your comments to all of council or to the chair as a whole, or generally speaking.
I don't mind if he talks about it.
We have rules that I've been pressed to enforce more strictly, and that is for council members as well as speakers. So you can generally speak in the tone of a council member, used audio.
Absolutely, well said.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
President Waldron, I'm trying to adhere to your rules and regulations for sure. Council will remember that that Councilman Callahan used audio very effectively from his phone. And I made a little bit of pitch at a budget hearing about this podium being equipped technologically. I'd love to be able to show a slide, an image, and I'd love to be able to play some audio. So I hope you will think about that as a way to help the public. I'm going to speak against what will seem like a little thing at the next meeting, giving Lehigh the permission, the go-ahead to do the traffic study on closing Packard between Webster and Vine. Some of you were at the January 23rd meeting, and Lehigh gave three reasons for that that traffic study as a step toward closing that section of Packard. Number one, to enhance safety. Number two, to better connect. This is the slide I'd like you to see. Better connect Lehigh with South Bethlehem to have more foot traffic supporting the businesses and to improve the pedestrian experience for everyone. Three reasons, the rationale for asking you to take that, what would seem to be, I think, a small first step in toward closing Packer Avenue. My feeling was that Lehigh did not make its case. They did not make a prima facie case for even the study. And I would ask you to consider holding off at the next meeting, giving permission for what seemed to be a small kind of thing. I guess Lehigh's going to pay for it. Maybe some of our police are going to work it. But it's a step in a direction that really hasn't been discussed or aired. During the meeting, a female student from Lehigh asked a question about these three rationales. And she prefaced them, each one, with sort of the similar statement. "I just don't understand," she said. "I don't really understand," she said. "I don't understand," as she asked a question about each of those three rationales. First rationale is enhanced safety. Lehigh's asking for the nuclear option. If there's a safety problem on Packer Avenue, closing the street is a nuclear option. People at the meeting ask, "Have you thought about other things? Crossing guards, stoplights, traffic lights, all kinds of other calming measures." Number two is to get more feet to support the businesses on Packer Avenue. I don't think Lehigh tried to answer that one at all. How is Packer Avenue now keeping students from getting to the businesses on South Side? So that second goal of better connection with the South Bethlehem to have more foot traffic there supporting the businesses. And number three, improve the pedestrian experience for everyone. The everyone's they're talking about, I think, unless they make the case differently, are Lehigh students. So they're asking council, they're asking the city, they're asking us to provide something which will be for the benefit and improvement of the Lehigh campus and the quality of life on Lehigh. So I would ask you to think about their three reasons and whether they made the threshold case, the prima facie case, for you even to take that first step. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Is there anyone else in the Senate room who'd like to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Moving into the center. Mr. McDonald?
Stephen Antolix, 7% Reed. I'm sorry. I hate to do this, but I've changed my address. I'll whisper it. 1201 Butstown Road. You didn't hear that. I've been getting flack you wouldn't believe. But anyway, I have to read something to you. I get goosebumps. But anyway, you're looking at a traitor. There's another Benedict Arnold in attendance here. Anyway, Venture X opens in Bethlehem. Venture X, a world workspace community for entrepreneurs and businesses, announced its first location. And the term opens means now. Its first location in Pennsylvania of a new 13,000 square foot facility. That's pretty big. At 306 South New Street in Bethlehem, Venture X offers a collaborative workspace and dedicated private offices for companies that range from 1 to 50. This will be the first of several locations coming to Lehigh Valley with plans to open in Easton and Allentown. Flexible office spaces benefit a broad spectrum of professionals, freelancers, small businesses, commuters, global entrepreneurs with local presence. Do companies like this have a requirement to appear before the city or announce their plans? Do they require a permit or whatever? Or can the owner of the building, which we all know which building this is, do what he wants, rather accept people to move in without any public comment or permit. Are they required to get a permit, or is there any requirement that this be presented to the city? Can anyone answer that?
I don't believe there is.
Pardon?
I don't believe there is a requirement to vet businesses before they move into the city.
Now, I pass the building with a regularity, and I noticed many of the signs were on the first level. And if some of the spaces that they're speaking of were to be on the first level, street level, would that require anything from the city?
Exterior modifications in the historic district need to be approved.
I'm sorry?
Exterior modifications in the historic district must be approved.
But this is interior. You say exterior.
Correct.
But in other words, they could have these flex spaces on the first level without any need or any permit or any whatever?
I imagine it would depend on the zoning law.
Well, the zoning law made it very clear that stores and restaurants would meet the requirement. So I guess we need to wait and see what goes on, where those offices go, whether the signs are just advertising the space or whether those houses will go on the first floor. So we'll know shortly. But your answer is the owner of the building can put in anyone he wants as long as he sees they fit?
It depends in the commercial district, first floor must be retail or professional service, remembering that correctly. I'm sure Ms. Heller could clarify if you'd like to have a conversation with her.
And where on the first floor they're going. All of the uses will be reviewed by the permit department and the zoning office before they're issued.
I meant privately, if you wanted to have a conversation. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any subject? Mr. Haynes?
Yeah, thank you. Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. I'm actually here tonight to reinforce the short-term lodging ordinance that I know is being introduced tonight. It's not being voted on. But the housing ordinance, 1741, supplements the zoning ordinance. It's extremely important that these ordinances be properly vetted, to be sure that they really accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, which is to be sure, at the end of the day, to be sure that Airbnb, whole house or apartment rentals can only occur in the commercial district of the city. And that anything occurring in the form of Airbnb in our residential neighborhoods is home sharing, where the homeowner is welcoming the guest in the front door and renting Johnny's room, who's off to college or whatever, so that our guests that are going into our neighborhoods are being hosted by the owner of the property and not in some apartment or some house that is not owner occupied and owner present to host that guest. And so that's the important part of this ordinance. I'm not totally convinced the language and the ordinance that's presented to you accomplishes that objective. I've been in touch with the mayor, Darlene Heller, the city, to try to be sure that this thing is done right, because obviously Airbnb is destroying neighborhoods across the country. Cities are reacting to it, just like Bethlehem is attempting to do. We got to be sure we do it right. And and commercial enterprises don't belong in residential neighborhoods. We are not the Jersey Shore where, you know, weekly rentals occur, you know, all over the place. We're neighborhoods where, you know, a neighborhood without neighbors isn't a neighborhood. And so it's important that this be accomplished correctly. So I know you're going to be deliberating this over the next hearing and a couple of meetings. I'm not convinced the language that you're being presented tonight accomplishes that, and we'll be perhaps communicating with you on in the future. Just to be sure you understand, there was an article, Airbnb is good for Bethlehem, in the Morning Call by Paul Poiker. What Paul is doing on West Bethlehem is absolutely exactly what we support. The Hotel Bethlehem supports it. The residential community supports it. They are hosting a guest in one of their bedrooms. And so he speaks to that. Unfortunately, the picture that's shown that's associated with that article is exactly the opposite, which is a whole house rental without an owner on property greeting and hosting the guests. So, you know, there should have been a picture of the of his house, because he's doing it right. And so, just to be clear, the Hotel Bethlehem has no issue competing with Airbnb on the level playing field in our commercial businesses. It's where they end up in residential neighborhoods, where they're not collecting the proper taxes that goes to LVEDC and goes to Discover Lehigh Valley. That's not happening. And also it's destroying neighborhoods. So I really implore you to protect your neighborhoods as you go through the process. Secondly, supporting Mr. Antalik's, first floor must be retail restaurant, or not professional service, but retail restaurant, or truly retail services in the commercial business district. So, thirdly, according to Mr. Gallagher, as a Lehigh grad, quite frankly, it pains me to think that the most beautiful nostalgic view, as a marketing person that brings people to Lehigh, where I take everybody, is right to the bottom of Packard, and the roadway that goes up between the church, Packard Lab, and to the University Center that has Lehigh on it. And that is where, periodically, I have to admit, I don't abide by the rules, and I take somebody who I'm trying to sell on Lehigh directly up that road. So it pains me to see that road close, personally. Secondly, Lehigh is expanding down to their new business school is going past Webster toward Taylor. So is the next step going to be Lehigh coming in and asking for Packard to be closed between Webster and Taylor for the same reasons? So I just question, suggest that this be given a lot of consideration. And certainly if the road's going to be closed, I certainly hope the city gets a lot of revenue from the sale of that of Packard Avenue for the city to use in good stead to help get us our World Heritage Site. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment? Yes.
Yeah, so good evening, Captain. My name is Victor Blazucci of 111 East 3rd Street, Southside Bethlehem, 10015. So there are two industries that I see are very, industries and public resources that are successful in other cities that could really benefit our city here. Firstly, street public food carts. I would love to see that in downtown the historic Bethlehem. Secondly, rental electric scooters. I know that is currently not permitted in Philadelphia currently, but I know how Bethlehem has lax motor laws. I think that would be perfect for our city. And other public resource from traveling from the south, from the south side to the downtown historic Bethlehem. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment? I know we're joined by some representatives of Lehigh this evening. Some comments have been made about the closing, temporary closure of Packer Avenue. That is on our agenda as a communication tonight, but we will not be having discussion or vote on it. So if you were looking to make a comment, this would be your sole opportunity to do so. Seeing none, we will continue on. Oh, okay. Sorry, I talked you into it.
Sorry. We also have some exhibits to pass out, if I can do stuff. So my name is Brent Stringfellow. I'm Associate Vice President of Facilities and University Architect at Lehigh University. And just to give a brief overview of what we are proposing with the temporary closure. A bit of, first of all, description. The closure is between Vine and Webster Streets, which you'll see on the extents of the closure, you'll see in the first three pages of your exhibits. In terms of the current timing, why are we doing this now? Mr. Gallagher pointed this out. I will reiterate, we identified three kind of major issues overlapping one another. One is the safety of pedestrians. The traffic is substantial. On a given day, there's over a given day during the school year, we have 1,700 people who cross Packer Avenue, and at peaks around midday, at about 800 people an hour. Secondly, the changing face of the Lehigh campus and the increasing shift of the center of gravity from the UC Lawn area, the traditional heart of Lehigh, towards Southside. So a lot of this is partly the development that's happening at Lehigh, but also our investment in the city. So projects such as leasing space in the Flatiron building, the third new building, as well as investments that we've made in the Southside ambassadors, code enforcement officers, and support of the city's renewal of New Street, indicates Lehigh's commitment to extending our partnership with Southside and really opening up a point of connection. And we see this as providing that in the east-west direction. Finally, improving that pedestrian experience, not only for the Lehigh community, but for the public at large. In terms of the closure, what we are looking at doing, this emerged from very early discussions where we broached the topic with the city. It was initiated with a traffic study that was completed by Pannoni Associates, who joined me tonight. This was looking at what the impact would be if Packer Avenue was to be closed between Webster and Vine. That study concluded at the end of 2018, early 2019, that the impact would be minimal. So what this test closure is proposing is proof of concept. So we have some evidence that the based on the study that we don't anticipate major impact. The idea of the closure is that this will prove it in terms of getting feedback and data live, real time, seeing is it impacting the neighborhoods, is it negatively impacting the various groups. So in terms of the details, a couple of things. We would be closing the avenue to vehicular traffic, normal vehicular traffic. It would remain open to pedestrian traffic, but obviously Lehigh and public would be invited, and it would still be fully accessible to the public. And we would be limiting access to emergency vehicles, service vehicles, and delivery, as well as vehicles to provide accessible routes for some of the folks with disabilities on campus. The layout will use what we call a chicane, which you can see on this chart, uses, instead of closing it off with a gate, this is similar to what's used at Music Fest to allow cars, vehicles to move through, but just not in a straight direction, they're forced to slow. And the renderings you see behind me, which are also in the exhibit package, give an idea of what the view would be from Webster Street and from Vine Street looking in. A couple of things that we'll be doing during the closure. One, we will be, prior to the closure and during the closure, of significant importance is coordinating with the middle school, with Brockville Middle School, to ensure the safety of students. So we have a meeting next week with Dr. Roy and Principal Amato And we will be remaining in touch and obviously working to ensure that any measures are in place to ensure safety of school children during the closure. And some of those concerns were raised at the public meeting. We will also, the Bethlehem Parking Authority will be doing parking counts to understand the impact on parking during the closure. And Pannoni Associates will be conducting a traffic study during the closure as well to look at the impact. The original study has been expanded based on input during the public meeting in order to gather the data that I think everybody feels is needed to be sufficient. And then finally, two things. One, the closure will be able to be open in the event of an emergency. It will be designed that we could open it up to public traffic. So if 3rd Street and 4th Street were to be shut down for any sort of reason, we would have the capability of opening up the space to allow traffic. Secondly, we have agreed, and we are fundamentally, you know, committed to this, if the closure starts, right now it's planned to be for 45 days, starting from at March 9th till the end of April. If for any reason there are circumstances that show that the closure can no longer continue, we will reopen Packer Avenue. And that is part of the agreement we would have with the city. So with that, am I over time or?
Yes.
Apologize. Thank you for the extra time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any topic not being voted on this evening? Moving to second public comment on ordinance and resolutions to be voted on this evening. Again, starting on this side of the room, Mr. Gallagher.
Ed Gallagher again, 49 West Greenwich. Fight the good fight. There was a funny moment in the last council meeting when I asked if there were copies of Robert's Rules in the house. Go to minute 32 of the video from last meeting and watch Mr. Spirk dive to the back and President Waldron dive to the front and waving their copies of Robert's Rules. More than enough to handle any situation, I suppose. I'd ask you to think of an analogous kind of thing now. We have some votes coming up on reappointments to city boards and commissions tonight. I won't ask you to do it literally, but perhaps just in your imagination for us. Waive the nomination material that you got from the mayor for the reappointments. Think of what you got from the mayor to justify reappointments to committees. Was there evidence? Was there performance evidence? I can see appointing people the first time because they're intelligent, because they're good community people, because they're good looking, because they're part of my political party. But second time around, you ask, don't you, have to ask for evidence of performance, especially on the hot button committees like the Bethlehem Parking Authority. I go to those meetings, I read the minutes. The meetings now have audio. They resisted coming here, moving here, and having the meetings videoed. But they are on audio. So suppose somebody's coming up for a reappointment. Wouldn't you ask, what have you done in the past? What was it, a two-year term or something? What have you done in the term? Make your case for a reappointment. Okay, council members, go to the meeting on August such and such, and May such and such. You hear me talking about this. You hear me bringing up this point. You hear me standing up for this. You hear me criticizing that. I mean, that's what I would want. That's what I think we want for a reappointment. If you don't have that, I think you should rethink what's happening here. President Waldron, I mentioned that Councilman Callahan says sticks with me. I think there's something that Councilwoman Van Wert said a year ago or something when I first started coming to these meetings. Council has three important responsibilities: legislation, budget, appointments. Council has three important responsibilities: legislation, budget, appointments. And reappointments ought to be on the basis of performance. Evidence on the basis of performance. With the Bethlehem Parking Authority, you can rarely see the name of any of the board members in the minutes. So what are they doing there for us? Just to end, President Waldron, I accept that admonishment to me. The hard gavel comes to Gadfly. Perhaps I would appreciate you reminding council members that it would be nice to be paying attention to people at the podium during public comment. I think that's what rouses my Irish temper, which rarely comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on with our agenda this evening. Any old business from members of council? Communications. Communication 6A.
A memorandum from Kristen Wenrich, Health Bureau Director, requesting council to consider a resolution for the destruction of records from the health department listed on the attached exhibit. Ms. Wenrich has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records fall within categories where destruction is permitted.
The resolution can be placed on the February 18th agenda, Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, recommending an amendment to a contract with Billetier Electric for electrical work in connection with the Memorial Pool replacement. The estimated completion date is May 15th, 2020. The cost increase would be $27,605.56. There are no additional renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Alicia Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, recommending amendments to Article 1741, titled Short-Term Lodging Facilities, with an attached proposed ordinance. The proposed amendments bring existing Article 1741 in line with the proposed zoning text amendments that will be considered at a March 3rd, 2020 public hearing, and address issues such as the definition of short-term lodging facility, adding requirements that all applicable lodging facilities comply with applicable zoning ordinances and maintain accurately drawn floor plans. It adds a restriction on changing the licensed area and adds a requirement for compliance with Article 705, titled Disorderly Conduct. In addition, the proposed ordinance includes other amendments showed in black line.
This will be referred to the Community Development Committee. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Police Chief Mark DeLuzio, to which is attached an agreement and resolution for the purchase of a duty weapon by a retired officer of the Bethlehem Police Department. Retired officers may purchase their duty firearms at fair market value pursuant to the third class city code.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson, to which is attached a proposed resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Lehigh University. The purpose is the temporary closure of portions of Packer Avenue to motorized vehicular traffic in order to assess the merits and community impacts of potentially closing portions of the avenue in order to establish an area predominantly for pedestrian use. The agreement covers West Packer Avenue and East Packer Avenue between Vine Street and Webster Street, and a city right-of-way abutting the street proper. The duration of the agreement is March 9, 2020 to April 30, 2020.
The resolution can be placed on the February 18th agenda, Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending an amendment to a contract with Thomas T. Nielsen, Neeson, Esquire, Thomas Neeson, and Thomas LLC, Water Utility Council, in connection with all necessary legal services before the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission in respect to the city's upcoming water rate filing. There is no change to the term in the existing contract. The initial term ran from March 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019, with three automatic renewal terms of 12 months each, running from January 1st through December 31st for the calendar years 2020, 2021, and 2022, subject to 30-day termination by either party. The fee is not to exceed $175,000 plus expenses to be paid on a time and expense basis for the water rate matter. There are no additional renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few appointments. Administrative Order Number 1, I hereby reappoint John Salarico of 274 Wedgwood Road, Bethlehem, to the Bethlehem Authority. This appointment is effective through January 2025.
And the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Weldon. I want to say thank you to Gallagher for talking about it. That's something that I actually had in my mind already. We have dealt with this a couple of times. We have a couple of individuals actually in the list, but right now John Talarico that has been in many other boards. And you know, I even wrote an article in the Morning Call last year asking individuals to join and to be part of this movement that we are doing in the city, being part of commissions and committee. He's been in the Bethlehem Parking Authority. He's been in the Bethlehem Water Authority for many years, going back to 2004, 2002. So, you know, I really wish I see more individuals more interested in participating in these boards and authorities because, you know, seeing the same individuals, you know, you're getting the same results, the same situations, individuals that, you know, even from the mayor's office asking for meetings to happen public, to be happen later on. And you know, I have a problem supporting the appointments of individuals that are just the same names floating around, so I will not be supporting this appointment. Thank you.
Dr. Vanwerk?
I agree with Ms. Negron. I think that our authorities, boards, and commissions are a huge source of power in Bethlehem, and they're often cloaked power. While I thank Mr. Talarico for his very many years of service to the city, I do think that there should be room on these authorities, boards, and commissions for people who are more citizen advocate oriented or perhaps represent a different geographic part of the city that hasn't been represented. And I would like to request that the mayor consider appointing people who have expressed interest on these boards and may represent a different point of view, especially coming from City Council, who is given the job of approval of these. Oftentimes, we've blocked on Council, we've blocked two appointments so far of probably 50, and those two individuals, it was because of clear conflict of interest. But I think it's also relevant to bring forward a discussion about how we as council, who are the representative body for the citizens, have an obligation to make sure that our authorities, boards, and commissions represent the citizens as well. And that means putting new blood on these authorities and commissions, and hopefully that new blood will also support what the mayor requested, which is moving all of these to a time after work where working people can attend, as well as taking place here or somewhere that they can be videoed. So for that reason, I am not going to be supporting this tonight. It has nothing to do with the individual himself. And again, I thank him for his many years of service to the city.
Well, I hear the points that are made, and they're good points. I guess I have a question for the mayor. Do you have people that are interested in these positions? Do you have like a waiting list, that there are other people that want to be on these boards?
I have a list. I don't know if we have a long waiting list, and I've always encouraged people. We put it out on our website a few times a year for anyone that's interested to submit their resumes to the administration for review.
So I guess to clarify, are there people that are waiting to be appointed to the different boards or not at this point?
Well, we have a few people that are interested in different boards, yes. I mean, regarding Mr. Talarino, his experience on the authority, I think, is very valuable. I think working with Mr. Repasha and Mr. Boscola, I think they've done a very good job with Penn Forest and the watershed and you know, our water system. So he has very good expertise that I frankly appreciate. That's why I'm reappointing him.
Are there other boards? Because I thought when I looked at one point there was openings and vacancies on boards. Are there vacancies on boards where these people that are interested can go to the other boards or not?
We have very few vacancies, especially on the major boards. I had a discussion with Mayor O'Connell maybe about 6 months ago pertaining to the number of vacancies they have on Allentown boards. We have a few, but not many vacancies on them, especially the major boards. maybe Fine Arts Commission or one or two. I would have to look. There may be a few vacancies, but we're pretty well at the max.
Thank you.
But if you have anyone that's interested, I certainly would welcome their resume and what board they may be interested in.
I guess I would just want to clarify the position of Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron. It doesn't seem like there's anything specifically against this nominee for the authority, but just the number of years that they've been in this position.
No, I think it's more the case of the lack of turnover of positions on this board and the parking authority.
Okay.
So for example, I will say that I heard the mayor said, yeah, I have people that have said that they're interested in boards. I think it's important, especially for appointments like this one on the Parking Authority and the Bethlehem Authority, that we make a stronger effort to reach out to the people. Hey, this is an opportunity. So, yeah, we have pretty full, completely full boards in these authorities, which are the most important, but we have people that are being reappointed again and again, and you know, it's just time for new blood. I think that it's important from our part as the administration to reach out before it's this time to reach out to new people. We need people to get involved. And you know, when I did the article that was in the Morning Call, people were asking me, so I want to be part of the board. Can I be part of the board? And you know, and that's the thing, there's not too many opportunities. So when there is, why are we keeping and reappointed the people that have been involved since 2004? You know, I think it's important that we give the opportunity and let the community know that there are an opportunity for them to be involved, and the only way that could happen is if we don't keep on reappointing the same individuals or moving them around.
I guess the counterpoint to that would be because they're knowledgeable and qualified to be in that position. And I don't know, there's a long list of people clamoring to serve on the Bethlehem Authority, and I would even be curious to know how many people in that room know specifically what the Bethlehem Authority does, which I think generally is a good thing because the reputation of the authority for managing and utilizing one of, I think, Bethlehem's most undervalued resources in the water that is served to the Bethlehem area. So I don't see a reason that this specific nominee should be voted against because we want to get new blood in there. I don't see an example of an alternative to say that that person A would be better than this reappointment. So I would be supporting this nominee this evening. Mr. Callahan?
I just got a very simple comment. I think the elections have consequences, and the mayor typically, you know, and I talked to a few different mayors about this, and I don't, you know, the mayor gets elected, and it's his prerogative to choose people to, you know, be on boards, and I think I totally understand our oversight responsibility, but I don't ever remember, you know, in the last three administrations, you know, other than someone having a major problem that was appointed by the mayor, where they, you know, where council denied them. I don't know off the top of my head if it's ever been done before, other than, you know, the last two and, you know, in the last year. And I think it's probably more a personal preference against individuals just for whatever reason, whether it's political or whatever, I don't know. But, you know, generally when the mayor appoints someone, other than a major issue or a major problem with that candidate, you know, they're usually approved, you know. It's a courtesy usually given to the mayor, so.
Dr. Mamer?
Well, I think Mr. Callahan has pointed out exactly why we are having this discussion. I think that part of council's role is oversight, and we were given this power expressly so that we could counterbalance the power of the administration and ensure that our authorities, boards, and commissions have people on there who do not represent one point of view, but many points of view, including points of view of citizens who may not be traditionally represented on these boards. So I think, thank you, Mr. Callahan, for making my point so clearly that just because we've been doing this for perpetuity does not mean it's the right thing and does not mean that it should continue.
Okay.
Thanks.
No, I think you're also taking my comments out of context. I think it's also important that you know, that we respect the mayor's decision. It is his choice, and you know, if the person's been doing a quality job, I don't know if we've had any issues with anybody on any of the boards, especially on the Water Authority, since that's what we're talking about right now. But from everything I understand, Mr. Tallarico is a very respected individual on the board and has a lot of experience. So, yeah, I would be in favor of honoring, you know, the mayor's wish if that's what he chooses. So,
the clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. DeGrom?
Nay.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 4-2.
Thank you. Administrative order number 2. I hereby reappoint Dino Patelmi, 2854 Linden Street, Bethlehem, to the Parking Authority. This appointment is effective through January 2025.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion?
I just feel the same way. You know, I know that, you know, it is our role, it is our job to be the check and balances. That's the only reason we were elected. And so we have an obligation to the people that elected us, and it is to make sure that, you know, we're just not just rubber stamping. You know, I think that these are extremely important boards, and I think that we have a job, the administration has a job, to make sure that the community knows about it, make a big deal, who wants to be part of this. This is a great opportunity for you, and not to keep on individuals. And, you know, and I want to also make a comment, because it's a very important one. Some of these individuals, you know, and it's not nothing personal on them as individuals, of course, and they're very talented, they have great experience and bring a lot to the table. You know, and that makes me wonder, I've been in council for 4 years, and I have always requested to be on the Community and Economic Development Committee, and I've never been assigned to it. I've worked under Robert Randell's advisory board for crime prevention and community revitalization. I worked for the City of Allentown on the Community Economic and Economic Development. You know, I've done so many years of experience, work experience on community development and community revitalization, but I've never been appointed. I always come to the meetings because I care that much. But, you know, it's like really coincidence, right? So I think that it is important. We have an obligation to be the check and balances. The administration has a job to make sure that the community understand that there are opportunities for them to be part, because people do want to be part of it, but they don't know it's happening. It's all, you know, and I understand what you said. You know, the mayor works, and any mayor, well, all of them did, and they appoint individuals. I was appointed by mayor, for the library, for the planning commission, but we have an obligation to have a balance and representing the community. Our job is not just to rubber stamp, it's to make sure that we are the check and balances. So I will not be supporting this appointment. Thank you.
Dr. Bianner?
So I think we've made the point about turnover. I do think that the Parking Authority does have a huge public perception problem. I'm hopeful that as liaison I can help bring forward community concerns, but I also think that the time has come for a community advocate to be appointed to the Parking Authority. I would like to see somebody even from the South Side appointed to the Parking Authority. The experience that I had on the ad hoc committee only lends itself to this example, that there was nobody there who was listening to what the committee had to say. They asked us to get together and figure out what would be best for Bethlehem, right? That was the litmus test. What was best for Bethlehem? And the recommendations were made, and they were not even discussed, nor was the committee who made the time to go to the meeting where it was discussed. We were not even acknowledged that we were in the room. And then the decision was ultimately made to choose the developer that got chosen for the bottom line, for a difference in price, which wasn't even valid if you took into consideration other factors. And I bring this all up because, to me, that exemplifies exactly why I'm pushing and Olga's pushing for community representation on that board. I think the appropriate thing would have been to say, what is the best thing for Bethlehem, and have that vigorous discussion. no discussion happened. Even if, you know, they can choose whoever they want, but at least talk about it. At least have a vigorous, informed discussion, and none of that happened. And nobody on that board stuck up their hand and said anything. So this is not about Mr. Cantelmi. And again, I thank him so much for being willing to be of service to Bethlehem. It is not about him personally. It is about the fact that this board does not represent the needs of the citizens of Bethlehem. And I think it's time to have new people on there. And I would say this, if he's approved, I'm going to say the same thing for the next person who comes up. Because it's not about the actual individuals who are on the board. It's the fact that there isn't anybody who's putting their hand up and saying, what about what's best for the city and the citizens of Bethlehem? So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I just want to say about this appointment, I really thought about it a lot because there have been a lot of hot issues in my short time on council with the parking authority. So I called Mr. Cantelmi because I don't know him personally. I know a lot of people that know of him and spoke of him with high integrity. Also, I think it's very important, the parking authority right now, because we have the Polk Street project, which is a huge project we're going to be dealing with in the next year or two. But anyway, speaking with him, I spoke of the need that we have for increased communication between the parking authority and the council, and he did state that he certainly understands and will work towards that, as well as, you know, transparency. He didn't feel that there were any conflict of interest, and if he does, he will certainly recuse himself. And I again really weighed what was best for this appointment, and I thought of experience is important because, again, the Polk Street project is huge, and given his experience and how well people have spoke of him, I've decided to definitely support him tonight. I think maybe moving forward we can look at, if there are people interested in authorities and they do have the qualifications, maybe having some turnover, because I think it is a good point. You know, it's always, do we have, just in politics, even term limits, or do we have people be in politics forever? And that's, you know, a very important and you know, Barry kind of issue, I think, to deal with. And I think we have the same thing here. We have the importance of the experience of the people on the authorities, but yet also new blood is important. So I think it's a balancing act. Again, I'm going to support Mr. Cantelmi, and maybe just in the future we just need to look at if there's people, again, equally as qualified that can bring experience and qualifications to the table. Thank you.
I think Ms. Gramsci-Smith brings up an interesting point. If you're going to have term limits for some of these boards, I'm open to that conversation. It feels a bit arbitrary to pick and choose which boards and how long someone can be conserved before they're selected, as they've been around for too long and we need new blood. So I would support this administrative order this evening and support this nomination of Mr. Cantelmi. However, I am open to the idea, the conversation about term limits, but I don't want to be picking them as they come up, but have a policy in place that maybe the administration supports or that City Council can get on board with to say that this is the path forward. But to pick and choose feels a bit unfair to the folks who have volunteered their time and energy to serve on these boards. I would also point out to Council that when I make committee assignments as well as liaisons, I ask for preferences, and I do my best to balance those preferences, and I can say that all six members of council did not get what they wanted, and I did my best to give people an opportunity to serve in positions where I thought their interests would fit, and unfortunately not everybody gets what they want all the time, but that's how life goes, as we know very well in this room. Any other discussion on 7B2? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 4-2.
Thank you. Administrative order number 3. I hereby reappoint Hillary Rose Harper, 826 West Market Street, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is effective through December 2022.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? I don't know. Does anybody know how long Ms. Harper has served on the Finance Commission?
I would have to check. I know Ms. Harper personally. It's been a couple years at least.
Right. I would just question whether we need new blood on the Fine Arts Commission as well, if we're going to pick
Mr. Walden?
Yes.
Sure. I'll be happy to talk about that. I think the authorities and boards and commission that wield the power of the purse, whether it's leveraging money for new garages or deciding who gets a CRIS benefit, those are the ones where we need to pay particular scrutiny. So that is why I personally felt the way I do about the Parking Authority. The Bethlehem Authority, I think there is room in there for new people to come on board. It is an environmentally sensitive area, and I do think that there's a place for community advocates to be involved there. But the main authorities, boards, and commissions I feel deserve this type of scrutiny are the ones that have the power of the purse.
Understood. Again, I think that serves to the point of having conversation if we're going about term limits potentially and where those would apply, whether those are, as you say, on some of the higher profile boards and authorities based on maybe the budget and the impact, or that's for every board and authority in order to allow for, you know, maximum input by the citizens of Bethlehem. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order Number 4. I hereby reappoint James DiPietro, 3302 Broadway, Allentown, PA, to the Fine Arts Commission to support him as effective through January 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? I think also I'd like to point out on this too, this is a resident of Allentown, which goes to the point that not every board and authority is filled with folks from Bethlehem who are willing to do this job. So sometimes we don't always get a full representation of the people that we want in these boards, but are subject to people who are willing to graciously volunteer their time and energy to serve on the boards. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order Number 5. I hereby reappoint Patricia Zurich, 807 Johnston Drive, Bethlehem, to the Board of Health. Support was effective through January 2025.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order Number 6. I hereby reappoint Lee Cunningham, 2432 Victoria Way, Copley, PA, to the Codes Boards of Appeal. This appointment was effective through January 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. We have no ordinances for final passage this evening. We have one new ordinance for consideration, Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance amending Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as amended, known as the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by amending the city zoning map. Bill 1-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds? Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolutions? Resolution 10A.
Now therefore be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the above cited Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorize the destruction of public records of the Fire Department as stated in the attached Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Beltier Electric for electrical portion of the work for the Memorial Pool Replacement in accordance with the plans and specifications. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement to effectuate the transfer of a city-issued handgun previously assigned to Robert Urban, retired city police officer. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Thompson, Neeson, and Thomas LLC for Water Utility Council and in connection with the water rate case. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider Resolution 10E through 10G as a group and ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Callahan, second by Ms. Negron.
Okay, Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Discussion on... I still have to read this first.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinances are hereby granted for 306 South New Street to install new signage, 601 East 4th Street to install corner signs, 17 East 3rd Street to replace existing windows at the front facade due to fire damage. The resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. New business? We have a few announcements for committee meetings, and then we'll move on to other subjects. I'd like to announce the Finance Committee meeting on February 11th at 6 p.m. The agenda item is budget adjustments. Mr. Klum.
Thank you. The Public Safety Committee is going to be getting together on Tuesday, March the 3rd, here in Town Hall at 5:30 p.m. to go over Article 744 about marijuana possession, getting an update on the enforcement of the ordinance.
Dr. Van Wert.
The Community Development Committee will be meeting on Thursday, February 20th at 5:30 in Town Hall, and we're going to be talking about two different bills, and both of them are related to the short-term lodging ordinances. So bill establishing Article 1738 titled Residential Rental Units, and bill repealing and restating Article 1741 titled Short-Term Lodging Facilities.
Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Ms. President. We will be having a Human Resources and Environment Committee meeting on Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. And the agenda item is establishing a new article titled The Wage Equality Act.
Any other new business? Yes, Mr. Grant.
Thank you, President Waldron. This is something that I wanted to share at the last meeting, but it was just really hard for me to do so. So I will try it this time. As you might have heard, Puerto Rico has been trembling since the end of the year. And I went with a group of elected officials from the Lehigh Valley. And it was the hardest visit I ever had to do. And I'm only sharing this because since the beginning of January, the Hispanic Center has received 14 families from Puerto Rico to Bethlehem. More are gonna come. It's shaking every day. I just felt one earthquake for 4.6. And it was very scary, especially after you see all towns, downtowns, completely coast, completely empty because of the destruction. So
I'm saying this, first of all, if you have co-workers, anybody that you know that is from Puerto Rico, more likely than not has family in Puerto Rico, and their hearts are breaking like mine is. And I'm also saying this because we need to be prepared. I'm going to talk with the mayor already. The Hispanic Center is having their fundraiser, their annual fundraiser in April. And I'm hoping that individuals, you know, even members of council, you can place an ad, you know, $150 will be a big help. I'm hoping that individuals do support the center because more families are going to come. According to the experts, it might be shaking for 6 months. It might be shaking for a year. You know, I talk with families. I saw families with, they're living in a tent outside in the house, in the backyards, because they're afraid to go back to sleep in their own bed. I talked with a mother that her two-year-old, since January 7th, the two-year-old has not been able to eat, does not want to eat, not even a piece of candy. She's only been drinking milk. This mother is scared because she's worried about the baby's health. You know, you think about a two-year-old, what is also been going through the mind of a two-year-old other than play, eat, and sleep? This baby has been impacted so dramatically that she can't eat. You know, and I said again, it was the hardest visit I ever done. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. I go once or twice a year. Never seen something like that. Never. And, you know, I just fear, and I have heard many families that are saying, I'm welcoming my family, even for a month, for a year, for whatever it takes. They're sleeping in airbags right here in our community because it is, I mean, how much can you take of that? It was really devastating to see it, to feel it. I heard stories that, you know, I had to drown on them. Heartbreaking. So I please ask everybody, the Hispanic Center is welcoming them. They don't have the funds available to help out. The Red Cross is doing a great job as well. But, you know, we keep on doing great buildings with beautiful exotic homes, and we don't have affordable house. You know, people are coming to work. I have already three individuals that were interviewed, and they're going to come to work at St. Luke's. They're going to be working right here because they could speak English, they have a degree, they can't take this no more in the island. So we're going to have more people coming to the Lehigh Valley, and I'm hoping that everybody thinks about this with a big heart. Not just to embrace and welcome them. You know, I think about all the stressors that we already have within our communities. You know, and it's devastating to me. I sometimes wish I could say, don't come this way. Why are you coming here? We don't have housing for you. We don't have something, you know. It's going to be tough. But how can I say that after seeing what I saw, after living and experiencing what they did? So I am hoping that everybody has a big heart, support the Hispanic Center. They are going to be needing more funding that they can use to help these families that will keep on coming. And please have a big heart, be compassionate. This is not an easy thing. I mean, I wish you could just think about it and see yourself, instead of having a beautiful king size bed inside your house, you're afraid to go walk in because you don't know if the next shake is going to break your house apart. So therefore, you're sleeping outside with your children in an air mattress in your tent. It's not an easy thing to do, and you don't know when it's going to stop. It's really tough. So I just really hope that everybody think about this. Look at the Hispanic Center website, help them out. You know, again, you can put an ad for $150, put an ad in the paper saying, you know, we're with you. Whatever it might be, you can donate online. We're gonna need that help. And I know I talked with the mayor, and he said he's gonna do something on the website. I appreciate that. You're an emeritus board member of the Hispanic Center, so I hope you take that into heart and reach out to your friends, to the developers, to everybody that has all that money that loves to spend it out. This is a good cause and they need it. We really need to give a hand in here. Thank you, President Morgan.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Ms. Negron. Is there any other? Yes, Ms. Crampton-Smith?
I just wanted to acknowledge that this past week we lost an icon in the city of Bethlehem in Dr. John Reynolds, Willie's father. I knew him, and I was always very impressed with him. What a wonderful man he was. He was an icon. He was a mentor and a coach to many of the young children for many years, and I knew him personally as the professor of political science at Moravian. He helped positively impact many young adults and form them into responsible adults in this community and beyond. I met him through the Promise of the Rainbow program, which he started at Moravian, which was unbelievable. We would busload hundreds of Lehigh Valley students in once a year and do a program on diversity and inclusion. And his passion for inclusion and justice and diversity was so apparent through that program. And so many of us in Lehigh Valley owe him for that. I just wanted to acknowledge him. I think he'll be really well missed. As my nephew Patrick, one of his students, said, he was really one cool dude. And I just want to send my blessings to Dr. John Reynolds and his family. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gramsci-Smith. Any other comments from council? I think that's a fitting way to end. This meeting is adjourned.